And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 11 Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, and Anna Dew with you. Pete, tis the season. How are you, buddy?
What's up, Nick? Skip, of course, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And hey, that was a Nick Alberga dream last night, right? Adam Henrique, revenge hat trick against the Devils. The Devils are reeling right now. What's up, Anna?
There's a lot of frustration out in New Jersey. I'm not going to lie. The team looked pretty angry with the way that game turned out. But we'll see. This year's almost over. 2023 coming to a close. 2024, we might have a new NHL landscape.
Anna, things have sort of gone south with the Devils ever since you started contributing to their MSG broadcast. I'm just pointing that out. I'm just leaving it at that. I'm just pointing it out.
Hey, when I'm in the arena, they win. When I'm in the arena, they win. I wasn't there for the Ducks game, but I was there for their OT winner against Boston. So maybe I'm the good luck.
Tell you guys something. Fraud Watch is completely on in the NHL right now. Like, there's so many angles I want to cover on this show, but we're going to stick specifically to the waiver wire, at least to start. NHL.com/fantasy, where you can check things out. So it was a big week for me, Pete, streaming-wise. Gabe Vilardi, I hit on Wednesday, then Adam Henrique yesterday. Vilardi is where we'll start with the Winnipeg Jets. They're blistering hot. So is Connor Hellebuck, and so is that top line, right?
Right, and Nikolaj Ehlers, we'll call him Nicky Eyes, right? We love that guy, man. We've been talking about him for years on the show. Now Kyle Connor's out for 6 to 8 weeks, and all of a sudden you see Vilardi back from injury and firing all cylinders, and Ehlers the same deal with Mark Scheifele as their line mate. So I really like their chances. Like we were talking about on the action show prior, right? Like comparing them to Larkin being out for Detroit. They have enough horses in that offense, Anna, to weather the storm here.
Yeah, that top line has been insane for the last like four games, at least just producing off the rails. And even when you go down the lineup, earlier this season, we talked about how solid Cole Perfetti and Vladislav Namestnikov were when they were playing together. So it goes beyond just those big guys up front. But Winnipeg is a team that, honestly, I need to apologize because I didn't think that they were going to be as solid as they were this year. And they're really proving me wrong despite even having these big injuries.
Well, they play with structure, right? And that's a big difference. I think you look at some of the other teams around the league and they have the goaltending. Connor Hellebuck has been outstanding the last little while for this team and obviously a contributing factor, and they can rally around some of these injuries. It's been a great story. I think it's easy to find value right now, Anna, in Canada in general. So we talk about Winnipeg, the Calgary Flames on the periphery as well. You just talk about New Jersey, the Tyler Toffoli deal, but Yegor Sharangovich has been a man possessed lately for the Calgary Flames, him and Blake Coleman on this week's list.
Yeah, New Jersey's struggling, and then Sharangovich is tearing it up in Calgary, so just a terrible time over for the Devils. He's been awesome as of late. He has like 6 goals in his last 6 games, and yeah. Blake Coleman as well has really turned up the next level right now. He's putting shots on net. He's scoring as well. He has 8 points in his past 6 games, and the Calgary Flames are another team that I discounted this year. I really thought there was like one big contender in Canada, and that was Edmonton, and I didn't give Calgary enough credit. I'm still not sold on the team as a whole, but their offense at the very least is still producing night after night.
Yeah, and that face that you have behind you, Nick, of Anna with the straight face from the TV broadcast in the Devils game, that's how the Devils are looking at Sharangovich doing this and leading the Flames, which doesn't say much in goals with 11, but still, I mean, coming the back way in that trade, you never really would have seen this coming. And you know, I think it's funny that you got a picture of Bobby B on there. It's you're honoring the show a little bit, Nick.
I was saying next up is going to be David Satriano, and eventually you'll be on my big board here. Like it's only an amount of time, Pete. I'm just telling you right now, buddy. Telling you right now.
I stay low key, so you're going to have a hard time finding a picture like that of me.
Very, very true. But you're so right on the Calgary Flames front. And it's so funny. Like we spent a lot of the offseason talking about some big trades, the Toffoli one specifically, the Erik Karlsson one, and I know Bobby hates it, but we love the San Jose Sharks here on the show, the value they're providing. Michael Granlund's been fantastic, as we know, 17 points in the last 11 games. So great stories all around. And I think this year in a fantasy season, that's how you're going to find value on the waiver wire, clearly. Another guy has been producing, actually, surprisingly, at least for me, in Detroit, and as JT Compher, he's been hot for the Red Wings.
I don't think it's that surprising when you take a look at where he's playing in the lineup. Honestly, they're giving him a lot of opportunity to get some solid playing time with decent players on that Red Wings squad. And with Dylan Larkin out of the lineup, that was like JT Compher's moment a little bit to shine there. And he does this. He does this every now and again. Like even in Colorado, he'll go on these little hot streaks where he really finds his game. So I think he's a really good streaming option. I'm not sold on him like season long in fantasy just yet, though, Pete.
It's an interesting line. So it's Compher came back on Saturday and playing with Patrick Kane and Michael Rasmussen. Rasmussen has 7 goals this year. They have a bunch of guys like that on Detroit that are chipping in goals left and right in the middle six, the bottom six, and Sprong and Compher, right? And some of these guys, Perron, I know, is still dealing with the suspension here. But once everybody's back, like I've seen enough from Patrick Kane with 20 shots on goal in his first 6 games back from hip surgery to suggest that this guy still has it. And over time and continuity with line mates, remember he started with Valeno. Now it's like Compher a little bit for the first game. Compher played 21 plus minutes in that first game back from injury. He has been a huge surprise for me, fantasy and reality this year.
Yeah, hockey makes no sense to me, and I'm with you, because I expected Compher to take maybe a bit of a step back, going from a juggernaut like Colorado to a place in a confusing team in Detroit, and all of a sudden, I think his fantasy value is more there consistently than it was with, say, a team like Colorado. But I said hockey is confusing because Detroit is struggling to find wins right now with Patrick Kane in that lineup, and that's a development considering you look at around that Atlantic division right now. Certainly something to monitor over the next couple of weeks as well when it comes to Detroit. Anna, let's talk about the goaltending. It's the same conversation every year in Toronto, but Joseph Woll goes down. Ilya Samsonov can't stop a beach ball. So enter Martin Jones into the conversation here.
Honestly, I feel like this is the same conversation we have year after year. You just mentioned that. And it's like you look at whoever's in the Leafs crease and you give them an opportunity because the rest of the team is that solid. And that's what we're doing right now. But I like Joe Woll. I think he's like the main goalie in Toronto that I actually respect him based off of his individual play and not just the team that he's on. Everyone else, it's kind of like if the Leafs are hot, do you want to stream Martin Jones? Sure, go ahead. But at the end of the day, I've never been sold on Ilya Samsonov. I've always been super wary of him as a player, never drafted him in fantasy since he went to Toronto because I saw him in Washington, guys. I saw him firsthand in Washington, and this guy just cannot stay consistent at all and was doing what he was doing behind a team that won a Stanley Cup championship, and that's just not what's happening in Toronto. I don't know, man. I'm done with this Toronto goalie conversation. It's given me like PTSD.
I like that. Fade City for Manadua. And Pete, I think we all owe maybe the Washington Capitals brain trust a bit of an apology because like a year ago, we were all over Vanecek. We were all over Samsonov, we being the hockey world. And now conversely, I think we're starting to see why they didn't elect to keep these guys, right?
Right. And I mean, he did have Samsonov a career year last year, so that's why we had some optimism coming into this year with Murray being on long-term IR and stuff like that. But, I mean, he is near the top of my list of most disappointing players, probably at the top, honestly, because I thought he was going to take another step forward in the one-year contract year. But back to Martin Jones, like, this guy has gotten a lot of slander over the years. He won 30 games a number of times with the Sharks years back on some of those super teams, those regular season juggernauts. I mean, he has enough in the tank to be able to, you know, hold down the fort for a couple of games. He's already had a shutout here, right? He shut out the Penguins. I like Martin Jones. I don't like the Martin Jones hate. And I think it's it's valuable to a team like that to have somebody like that in their back pocket. Look at the Hurricanes, a complete disaster. The Carolina Hurricanes goaltending. They had 3 goalie options. Maybe they wish they had a Martin Jones right now.
No, that's a fair point. I think Brad Treliving should be commended not only for signing him as insurance, but also like the way he structured the signing bonus. Teams weren't able to pay it out the way they did, and that's why they held on to Martin Jones. That's why he started the season in the American Hockey League. We'll tie this into a question delivered by Skip. Is it time, Anna, to drop Ilya Samsonov? You already said you're fading the guy. You just dropping him off your roster at this point?
I feel like there are better options out there right now than Samsonov, and I think that he's proven he's not the go-to guy in Toronto. Maybe if you want to hold on for a tiny little bit to see if he like takes it over in the absence of Joe Woll, you can. But at the end of the day, guys, like the Washington Capitals had an insane goalie coach, one of the best goalie coaches I've ever seen, and they had a great coaching system, and that's why you saw the best come out of Samsonov and Vanacek when they were in Washington, and now they're in other places, and you're seeing these faults that they really did have there as well that the team hid so effectively. And it's like, I've never been confident in these guys being like top goalies in the NHL. I just have not.
Fair enough. I would probably hold to answer the question. I understand what you're saying, but I do still think, weirdly enough, there's a pathway for Samsonov, whether it's with Toronto or somebody else. Like, they might have a conundrum on their hands if Wolves got to miss extended time and a guy like Jones might have to go through waivers to go back down. What would you do, Pete?
Well, I was just tracing it back. We didn't get to react to that insane game with the Blue Jackets and the Maple Leafs the other day when Sammy was in net. I mean, that was as topsy-turvy of a game as you'll ever see. The Blue Jackets are in dire straits right now. They were hanging on by a thread after blowing that lead, but they got the win. And Toronto, I mean, just an absolute mess on the back end in that game. And I was curious to hear your thoughts, Nick, because you cover the team closely. Like, with Klingberg out for the season, are you dabbling in Jake McCabe at all? I know he's been producing lately. He's on our waiver wire list this week just because Toronto's offense is so good.
I actually streamed him over the weekend. He didn't pick up a point for me, but I thought he was really good. And he has strung a bunch of games together dating back to the Nashville one consistently. I think from an offensive standpoint, obviously, they still have Morgan Riley. I'd go as far as to stream a Jake McCabe, but certainly on my radar because, again, I think he's been excellent, more so in the hits department. He's been lighting guys up left and right. Defensive game is a bit of a work in progress. He's liable to give the puck up, for a couple muffins and pizzas in the D zone specifically. But all in all, I think it's been a really, really good stretch. His best as a member of the Maple Leafs. So if you're looking for a defenseman, certainly would go that route. Another name on the list this week is Torrey Krug with the St. Louis Blues. I don't know what the Ottawa Senators are waiting for. You look at all these teams, Anna, around the NHL that have made changes, Minnesota, the Edmonton Oilers, now the St. Louis Blues, and you're like, they keep winning. I mean, Ottawa looks at that like, I don't know why they haven't made a decision, but Torrey Krug's on this week's list.
I don't know. Maybe they're just a bit hopeful. It's the holiday season. Ottawa's hoping. That's a word that we've used.
Games in
that
hand.
That team plays defense like my beer league team. I'm not kidding. I watched the game on Sunday and I'm like, A, why is Jonas Korpisalo still on my roster? And B, does this team understand this is the NHL?
I was wrong about Korpisalo, though, guys. Honestly, another apology that I have to give right now. Unfortunately, I was way, way off about him.
No, with Korpisalo, a fan was asking, delivered by Skip, same type of deal as Samsonov, like a guy you had high hopes for in the preseason. Like, he's droppable right now. I don't have any confidence. I have more confidence in Sammy than I do individually in Korpisalo.
I woke up today a conflicted man, I won't lie. I put a lot into my keeper league season on Jonas Korpisalo, and I'm just staying up till 4 a.m. late, watching the Ottawa, thinking about the Ottawa Senators. And I was told they were great, Bob Bender. I was told they were great.
We always pat ourselves on the back when we're right, but you guys were dead wrong about Korpisalo. Anna, Nick, you guys should really be accountable. Anna at least was. when we're wrong, we have to admit it. And on Korpisalo, it was very bad.
Disastrous.
Very bad on that.
Disastrous, guys. So, yes, we're not always perfect. We're like 98%. So there's still that 2% out there. I did want to get into the goaltending conversation a bit. Joey DeCord's on this week's list, too. Philip Grubauer in Seattle. We've talked about it. Just, it ain't working out. But the big news for me is Jake Oettinger goes down. And it's funny. It's not funny. I shouldn't tie it in. But I was talking trade with a buddy who's got Oettinger during that game. And I'm like, well, the price just went down because he got hurt. Scott Wedgwood's a guy, right, Pete, that's going to get the majority of the starts. I saw that they called up Matt Murray as well, the other Matt Murray. But it's going to be tough to find goaltending help this time of year. That's why we got our list here. Martin Jones and Joey DeCord, the big two names here.
Yeah, and Dallas, even prior to Oettinger's injury, was a little leaky defensively. Had some really weird games where they blew leads or they were winning 6-5, right? They blew the lead to Calgary that one game. Didn't make much sense. I have Oettinger in that YouTube draft league, so I'm really, holding on here, hoping it's more of a day-to-day or week-to-week thing that this guy's not going to miss a month and sink me in the standings here. But back to Joey DeCord. I agree with you. Like, he has a chance to emerge as the number one goalie in Seattle, a relative no name here, but Grubauer has not lived up to that contract. So give the kid a chance. He's actually the second best goalie in fantasy over the past week behind Thatcher Demko. So maybe a good time right now to pick him up.
And when you're looking at goalie depth, especially when a lot of netminders are getting injured, I always look at, with guys I'm not too sold on as individuals, how the rest of their team is performing. In Seattle, we're not giving enough credit to the way the Kraken are playing defensively so far this season. They're allowing the sixth fewest shots on goal per game in the entire NHL. So they're really helping out whoever is in the crease. So that gives them more of an opportunity to actually put up some good numbers.
Should we shout out the edge department for that, Pete?
No, that's a, I think that's a standard
stat. That's just a normal stat.
Yeah, no, it's a good one, though. It's a good one. When you can look at things like that. I actually did see an edge stat pertaining to the Blues. Their top five in power play offensive zone time percentage. They have the worst power play in the league, and people could laugh about it all they want. But back to Torrey Krug, 15 points in his past 20 games. When you're picking a guy up, you don't care that the guy, you know, if he went his first 10 games of the season without a point. Like, over the past 20 games, he's looking more like the Torrey Krug from the Boston Bruins days. So maybe pick him up if the power play gets going with the new coach, right? Like, they got to get Kyrou back up on power play one. They got some weird things going on. But I think St. Louis has the offense to turn it around, at least with the man up eventually.
Can you tell what the NHL mandate was way back in September with the big sledgehammer on the NHL edge? Any opportunity you get, you slide in the stat there. I mean, the folks at NHL PR, very, very thrilled with Peter's NHL edge interaction, right? And weaving it in when necessary, Nicholas.
We need any edge we can get on this podcast, considering some of our resume and my call last year that Vegas would miss the Stanley Cup playoffs. Nailed it. Speaking of Vegas, so they play Ottawa. Pete, you could have played in that game and won. But Aiden Hill, tough to see, comes back after missing seven, goes down again. I think it's a good buy time on Logan Thompson. Like, I think this time around with Hill, they're going to be extra, extra careful. But you look at Logan Thompson, Pete, it's been a great bounce back here. 9-4-3, 2.49, 9-11. Can you get behind that, Pete?
I like Logan Thompson dating back to last year. He has dealt with some injuries himself, and I think he was a little banged up in that game, but continued to play, which is a little
e-bug
odd.
Alert there, Pete.
They might have to turn to someone local like Todd Furman or something to play goalie if some of these guys are injured. Right? They have one of the best tandems in the league, I think, on paper. But you know, Hill, that's always tough. Like, that's what happened with Burakovsky when you're injured and then you come back and you get injured again. That's not a good sign for one of the Vezina trophy candidates so far this year.
Yeah, I like Logan Thompson. I'm buying into it. I think I'd buy into it if I'm being honest. I think that he proved himself last year, but after this conversation with Pete, there's nothing more I want to see than a Todd Furman e-bug situation in Vegas right now, guys.
That would be tremendous. I'm at wit's end with the e-bug conversation. We got to do something where I'm watching a game and I'm like, there's a chance that Joey from section 331 could come in the game is insane to me. Like, we're at a crossroads.
There was a chance
here.
Last night. Yeah.
There was. I was watching that game and I was about to tweet out, but then I saw like Logan Thompson start to stir and he got up and I was feeling better about life in that game. And I wanted to ask you about the Carolina Hurricanes. Oh, so Kochetkov has been a guy on our list for a variety of weeks, but he's starting to heat up finally. And I mean, finally, 3 goals in his past 3 starts. Antti Raanta placed on waivers, and they gave a bit of an update over the weekend on Freddie Anderson, medically cleared to skate. They're staying. He's about a month away. Aaron Dell, as we have this conversation, has been signed to a PTO. So I could only wonder who they're going to bring out of the woodworks next here, because it was Halak first. Now it's Aaron Dell, the computer.
I have no idea what's going on in Carolina, guys. But you know what? At the end of the day, I've been doing like a media circuit where this is like the question I get asked every single time I go anywhere for the last week. And at the end of the day, like, the one positive spin you can take away from the insanely bad luck this team has had in terms of injuries and whatever's going on in their goalie situation is, you're absolutely right, Nick. Kochetkov's kind of finding his groove right now. And if you picked him up when you had the opportunity, or you held on hope to Kochetkov, it's paying off a little bit. And we keep forgetting, once again, he is so young. It takes goalies some time to get used to playing in the National League. And he's never gotten the bit of confidence from his squad in his entire NHL career to be the go-to guy in Carolina. He's getting the opportunity right now. Once he builds up some of that confidence and gets used to some of the intricate natures of playing in the league, like, is he going to be a solid goalie? I still think so. His individual like bar is so high in my eyes.
They actually called up the kid from Quinnipiac that won the national title last year, so that was an epic run by them. And you know, they're going deep down into the weeds here because they have to, right? Like, this is crazy that it's not even involving Anderson and Raanta. Hopefully Freddie comes back, because we all know I'm high on him, and They got to the conference final last year without Svechnikov, but now Svechnikov's injured again. He was practicing, though, the other day, so that's a little bit of ray of hope. When we heard that Svechnikov was going to be out for a while, like, we were like, oh, geez, you know, it just gets even worse and worse for this team. But now I guess maybe he could be back sooner than later, which is a great sign for their ceiling down the road.
Yeah, they can't catch a break, guys. But honestly, I think 2023 is just not the Carolina Hurricanes year, okay? I think they want to forget that this year happened with all of the terrible injury luck they had, with the fact that they didn't make it as far as they wanted to in the playoffs, with the fact that they had just terrible game luck, too, in their series against the Florida Panthers. They're done with 2023. 2024 is the year for the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm putting it out there right now.
I'll tell you something. I've been annoying/trolling some folks who work for the Canes that, hey, maybe Rod Brindamore is going to be available. I'd love Rod Brindamore as the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I would really, really like that. It's not going to happen. Delivered by good friends over at Skip. Anna, we'll start with you. This is your department. I remember this podcast vividly. You were on the ropes with this guy. Rightfully so. Alex Ovechkin, is it time to drop? There are like 3 or 4 or 5 questions from people who are just had enough with Ovi this season, Anna.
That's such a tough, tough situation to be in, guys, because I really thought I got like the steal of the century getting Ovechkin as low as I did. And no, I did not. You're like saying I did. I really did not with the way he's playing so far. But I drafted him pretty low in our mock drafts. And I was like, people are way too low on this guy. He's still phenomenal. And at the end of the day, he's just not producing to the level he has. Like, it's like Dylan Strome is the biggest name right now in Washington. And that's not the way you want it to be. You don't want Tom Wilson scoring more goals than Alex Ovechkin. That's not the situation you want it to be, but he still puts up shots like night after night. So you do wonder if this is just like a little dull moment and it's going to switch immediately, because he's had at least 4 shots on goal in like 4 of his past 5 games, which is insanely high shooting volume. He just can't get the back of the net.
What would you place the odds on, you know, from before the season to now regarding Alex Ovechkin chasing Gretzky? Because people I talk to are now doubtful this is happening.
Yeah, it's a lot more in doubt than it was at the beginning of the season. That said, I still expect him to get like multiple hat tricks by the end of the season.
I'm buying
like
low.
He'll have his games where he has a 2-goal game, and then he's out there for the empty netter. It's going to happen eventually. So it's a great buy low window. And that's one of those questions where you just step back and look at it and you're like, wow, did we really ever think that we would be saying that about Alex Ovechkin in any situation at any point in his career, that you would consider dropping him in fantasy? That's still a lot for me to swallow here. I would keep Ovechkin at least until the new year here.
Which is why I also have to give a quick shout out to the way Sidney Crosby has played this season, guys. When you look at the way he's been playing, Father Time has not hit him yet. He's still looking like Sid the Kid so far. And just seeing what's happening with Alex Ovechkin, it just makes you appreciate Sidney Crosby's game that much more, Nick.
Pretty impeccable. We went 33 minutes or so on this podcast. Didn't mention the revenge game over the weekend with Kyle Dubas. Oh, buddy, with the ISO shots in that one, losing 7 Cobb to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I tell you, dire straits right now with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Pete's boy, Eric Karlsson, just it's a tough fit. That power play is struggling. Another one of your boys, Pete, I had to get to it this week. I'm sorry, man. You can tee me up for some of my boys. They've been stinking up the joint too. But Patrick Laine. Guy can't stay healthy, man.
Like, yeah, it's...
he hasn't played more than 60 games in a season in like 5 years. And I think from a Columbus perspective, maybe you tap into that all Russian top line, but I'm so finished with that team beyond belief. Like I am. I'm just going nowhere near them, and Laine's hurt again, Pete.
Yeah, it's disappointing because he's such an electric player, versatile player. Yeah. He's come a long way in that regard from when he was just a shoot first player, you know, scoring 40 goals with the Winnipeg Jets years ago. But Columbus in keeper and dynasty leagues, I'm not talking about using one of these guys as one of your, you know, 3 or 5 keepers, but I'm talking one of those dynasty leagues. There are some hidden gems there, like Kent Johnson's back from the AHL, had a huge goal the other day in that game against the Maple Leafs. Yeah, you mentioned those types of guys like Marchenko, right? And Hinakov, and, you know, however you say some of these guys' names. Like, that's a good line trio for sure. I know we've been writing about them in DFS, Anna, right?
Yeah, that's like a single game situation, or if you're looking at some props, that kind of thing. Columbus actually does have a decent amount of value because some of these guys put up good numbers in certain categories on a nightly basis, but season long, I mean, that team just has no direction right now. The injuries, Boone Jenner, we haven't even mentioned. That's a big piece this Blue Jackets team is missing because he's kind of kept everyone all together pretty much his entire time over the past couple of seasons in Columbus, and it's just... Where do you expect them to go from here, guys?
They were doomed from a training camp, in my opinion. As we look at the schedule, the final before the three-day holiday break coming up next week, 5 on Monday, 11 Tuesday, 3 on Wednesday, 12 Thursday, 4 on Friday, and 14 on Saturday. So the four-game teams you want to look at, there are two of them, Pete, Detroit and the Minnesota Wild. I can't believe we're just about at Christmas here.
Yeah, I like Detroit's outlook still. You know, they've been battling with Larkin out. When Larkin comes back, they're going to be a serious contender. I still think Alex Lyon got banged up over the weekend, so that's a bit of a concern because he's their best goalie option of the three. And then also wanted to throw out Thomas Tatar was not a good fit with the Avalanche, was in their bottom six, but he got traded to the Kraken over the weekend. And, you know, with some of the injuries they have to Burakovsky, Anna, and Jaden Schwartz, like I feel like there's an opportunity for him to resurrect his career a little bit.
Yeah, there is. But at the end of the day, like, there's so much depth in different teams. Like, Seattle's offense is not an offense I'm sold on, guys. Like, to be honest, I just don't. Fair. I think there are way better options right now with people producing, even Calgary that we mentioned earlier, the way they're producing. I just think there are many, many better options out there to add some depth to your offense. But their blue line, Seattle's blue line, I do like.
Yeah, that's fair. I would just add two small sample size, but Saturday, this new look line of like Nyes, Domi, and Marner in Toronto were electric. They were outstanding. So I think if you're looking to stream some guys from there, specifically Domi, specifically Matthew Nyes, who came back from the flu, got a Gordie Howe hat trick in that game. I think to Anna's point, there's a lot more guys out there. I think you look at Tatar under 5% roster rate now in fantasy. There's other guys I would look at, Pete.
Right, and I was also looking, so Pittsburgh has been a train wreck lately in some of these games, 7-0 loss to the Leafs. I mean, my goodness, but Rickard Rakell is coming back soon, it seems like, and he was skating on the top line. Like Anna was saying, Sidney Crosby, one of the best even strength point producers in the league. Jake Guentzel, also among like the top five even strength points, goals, that type of departments. I mean, like if Rakell lands with those guys again, he was a top 100 fantasy player last year, so try to stay ahead of the curve. Maybe pick up Ricky Racks and rack up the fantasy points when he comes back.
Anna, you're not a fan of that nickname, are you?
I love Pete's nicknames this season, guys. We need to run a. We need to keep a running list. We have JoJo. We have Ricky Racks. Like, I'm loving these nicknames right now. Way better than Bob's nicknames that he gives, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a nickname for you, Anna. I tell you something. I can't say it because it could lead to some discipline. So moving along, Alberga. It's time to put a bow on it. Hey, we always want to thank Skip, especially during the holiday season. The folks north of the border, reach out to Skip. Get your food delivered, okay? Enough running out and picking up your food yourself. Enough cooking at home, right? Who does that? Get Skip to deliver the goods this holiday season, Alberga.
I love it. You sold me a long, long time ago. I was going to mention, too, speaking of delivering the NHL fantasy action collab, that's coming up too. We're going to dial into this week's schedules and teams to look at. Definitely want to touch on the St. Louis Blues, so stay tuned for that. And also stay tuned for later this week, week 11 mailbag edition coming up later this week, our final one before a bit of a holiday hiatus for everybody involved, which we're looking forward to.
All right.
Yeah. Love it. Okay, that's producer Bob Bender. For Pete Jensen and Anna Dua, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.